What is up, fellow humans and mutants alike? My name is Kyle. I am with Danny, and we are talking today X-Force issue number 18. Why did we think that X-Men was coming out? Where was that confusion? Where did that happen? Where the logistics? Who do we fire for that problem? I want to know.
Wait, we're not reading Children of the Atom? Oh my God, this is impossible, Kyle. How could such an event arise like this?
Yeah,
what a travesty.
It's just you know, upper management. They wanted to talk about the resources and the potential revenue streams of what Children of the Atom can bring to us before we actually publish something. So, like all things in life these days, it has to be micromanaged to oblivion.
There you go. Compartmentalize that into obscurity. Did you get very far into it?
No, I did not. I glanced at a few pages and I said, this looks like, I don't know.
Garbage?
Yeah, it doesn't look great. I mean, when you're trying to be like these homages, because they are like homages to characters already. I don't know. It's not my appeal. It's like kind of, that's the appeal of Ms. Marvel. She's like the fan that becomes the superhero. And that doesn't, I don't know. That never appealed to me. Personally, I get why it's an appeal, but I don't know.
Overzealous fandom in anything gets a bit much, but just them being unable or unwilling in the comic book industry to try to make original IPs is just something that will always bother me, because it's just like, do the corporate rebrand on every character. Did you think your X-Men was not diverse enough? Well, here's a diverse cast of the same characters that you already like and love, but now just rebranded with that hip new twist.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, I glanced through it too.
It sucks when corporate oversight more or less gets the upper hand, and that's what happens when you're a corporation that's owned by a corporation that's owned by a corporation, right?
But they're people who care. Remember that. Always remember that. Corporations are people, and they care.
They do. This is true.
Insert shit-eating grin.
Yeah, smile, as the mouse massages your balls. There's no mouse giving me any type of pleasure underneath my desk right now, currently, Danny. I don't know
why you. You don't want to become one of those shills for Disney and be like, I am a content creator and I am here at the D23 event and I saw a trailer for something Disney did, and boy, I am more excited than I've ever been in my life. Can I tell you people?
No. Could you imagine if that was the type of podcast? I mean, we'd be no different than anyone else. We'd probably be talking of breaking down like Winter Soldier like fan theories right now, just like everyone else,
Stop. If you freeze frame here and you look, see, one of his eyes is slightly more closed than the other eye, and that's implying that he knows something that we don't know. And when you know something that the audience doesn't know, boy, are you in for a treat.
Oh, God damn, man. But if
that's YouTube, man. For 20 days straight, you could just go through YouTube after YouTube video of that shit.
It's true. But we probably would be rich if we did that. Or at least,
But at what cost?
But at what cost? Yeah. And that's why we're here talking to you schmucks about X-Force. And this cover is interesting. We got Brown, which I think he did an old issue. Remember the issue with the Black Tom Cassidy protecting Charles in Costa Verdita.
I remember that one. That's where I remember Brown from. Okay.
Yeah. So I like the way he does a lot of Black Tom Cassidy and how he draws that. But boy, when he draws, like, say, Sage, we get some interesting things popping up, man. And I'll point those out as they come along. It's an interesting one.
I think I know what part you're talking about, but I'll save that for later.
But what did you think about this cover overall? It is, Cassaro does the cover. He does not do the actual book, but he does do the cover this time around with Dean White doing the colors, and Guru EFX is doing the colors for the issue itself. How'd you like it? What do you think of it? It's, we got Aggro Omega Red hanging out. He's mad. Uh-huh. He's a mad bro right now.
He's raising his power level on the cover.
Yeah.
Showing you his final form.
It's definitely, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of, it's somewhat revealing of what the issue entails, right? I guess, to a certain extent. You know, it's not leading you. It's not like complete, like, left turn like most of these books. It's
No, it's relatively on the nail with this one. I like the spacing on it and just how everything pulls upwards towards the logo. I think that's great spacing, or that's great artistry trying to pull the eyes up towards what the focal point is. Mm-hmm. So I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I dig it. I dig the art direction. I like his glasses kind of shattering off through like that.
I didn't even notice that. Oh shit.
Maelstrom, which is pretty cool.
That actually is very cool.
And we got the characters of the book in here. We got BTC, we got Phoebe, and we got Wolverine hanging out in the back.
Uh-huh.
Not bad cover. I dig it. I dig it. I'm still not on board with the costume, though. What are you? Yay, nay on the costume?
I guess I could say that Kid Omega was better just wearing generic clothes.
Yeah.
I think that fit more of his just juxtaposition to all the other X-Men, where he thinks he's better than them. So, like, dressing regularly kind of added to that flair, but it could be worse. He could have went with that glob design.
Oof. Yeah, man. The glob design. No bueno. No bueno. But yeah, as we get into this book, last issue we left off, he was getting that makeover, right? He was going through that montage of different costumes and whatnot. And then at the end, yeah, all of a sudden, with great exuberant happiness as described in this book, he Jumbo Carnation goes savage, and that's kind of where we left off, right?
Yeah. We cut away at that point.
Yeah, we kind of cut away, and so we're left, what is going on with this? And we're going to kind of see this play out through this issue a lot, and we're going to see Kid Omega struggle with it as well. So shall we dive into the issue, Danny? Are you ready?
Indeed.
Or we could talk, you know, 4 hours on the Snyder Cut, you know. We could do that, you know, if we
if you want to bring it up.
We got to rake in those dollars. We got to get those keywords to show up on Google, Danny. Come on. So we got to, like, it's X-Men, comma, hashtag Snyder Cut, Snyder Cut. Batman says the cuss word.
It's X-Men parentheses. What about the Snyder Cut? Oh, jeez. Did you watch that?
Oh, yeah. I watched it.
You're brave.
I watched it. Oh, man.
I'm like, you could dress up this turd as much as you want, but you still can't hide the fact that it's a turd, so I will move on.
I enjoyed it. It made sense, but, you know, it's like, why type of situation. It's like, it makes it even worse because it's like, okay, you made it even more coherent, but you're not going to do anything with this universe, so what was the point? So you just hyped up fans for no reason, unless that's the point, to get like angry aggro like keyboard warriors to go like, no, you must do the Snyderverse, bitches. That could be.
No, we're kidding.
Yeah,
strategy to re-release shit.
Oh man, what a life we live. What a life. But let's ignore that. Let's get into X-Force, shall we? So we start off in Krakoa, and what's going on is Black Tom's hanging out in the veg, and he's getting like something happening, kind of like he's getting like a tickle, if you will, and he's kind of like, he's like, he kind of plays it off for a second. It's like, it's nothing. He looks out and sees nothing.
It's like stirring in a dream. He mentions Kane Marco as if like, fucking, yeah. He remembers being woken up by Juggernaut, and he's like, your fingers are the size of bleeding sausages, move away.
I want to know what these dreams he's having are. Is
it him trying to sleep and just fucking like Juggernaut standing over and poking him with his giant sausage fingers?
But yeah, he's like kind of plays it off, right? And he's like, it's nothing. Goes back to his meditation sleep thing, whatever it is. And then he hears more noise. He's like a big ka-ka-ka. And He's like, all right, now I gotta go check this out. What's going on? Type of situation.
There's this weird pink mist kind of forms around the background of the area.
Yeah, this pink mist and forms as he kind of walks over to see what it is. The fog kind of rolls over. Perfect timing on that fog. Good timing. And this kind of like weird skeleton, creepy Tim Burton-y looking type of drawing kind of appears out of the pink mist, right?
Yeah, it does have a Burton style to it, yeah.
And Black Tom kind of approaches it, and he's just like, Black Tom could see you. He's still doing his third person thing. He's like, I guess Black Tom could see you, but he can't sense you. And he's kind of weary of, like, there's right. no feeling. He can't feel it. The veg can't feel it. Nothing can feel it type of situation, right? And he's just like, nothing's there. It's kind of cut off, right? Or is he suggesting that he's cut off from the veg?
Right. Yeah, either he's cut off from the veg or something is being cut off from his mind. In general, he knows that something is up, though.
Yeah, but he refers to it as a dead antenna. And right as it happens, like, he gets consumed by the veg. And I really love this page. It's a great page. Good job on Gary Brown, because it's great. It, like, consumes Black Tom Cassidy, and as it consumes him, it, like, forms into these trees, and then the trees kind of form into, like, just a blank panel, like, just gone. So I like the kind of the art direction of it, where he's consumed, but then it actually turns into almost as if the branches or the tree itself is, like,
the bramble.
A border of a new panel, kind of, and then it goes to nothingness, which I was like, oh, that's pretty badass. I like that. I like the direction it took on that.
Yeah. Like you were saying earlier, he kills it with a BTC.
Yeah, definitely kills it with all
except that branch going up his nose. That was a bit much. I was like, oh,
you gotta get that weird body horror and some.
Gotta. It is an X-Force issue. Yeah. Good point.
We're even gonna get it with, like, Sage with her, like, drinking too. It's weird. which we're gonna get pretty soon. But let's get into this. What can you remember? Something is stalking the shores of Krakoa. Meanwhile, outside their borders, suspicion has been cast upon the new nation after a psychic attack on a cruise liner seems to point to a mutant perpetrator Quentin has dispatched to investigate, but was killed before being able to apprehend the culprit. Missing the memory of his death between cerebral backups, Quentin and his girlfriend Phoebe are on the case to clear Krakoa's name. But when the surviving victims start showing Quentin's own psychic fingerprints, the two are forced to dig deeper into the source of this mystery, a source that may be closer to home than they realize. Pretty much sums up this issue. So let's get into it. I'm dying. I'm okay.
All right.
I got a little veg, but I gotta get it out.
There you go. Got a little tree up your nose.
Yeah, you know, just a little bit of branches here and there. So we go to the Green Lagoon, and we get Sage, and Sage is fucked up. She is fucked up. She's so fucked up. She's just like saying Blob's name over again. She says Blob, Blob, like, just like when you take a word and just, like, dissect it, and you're just like, Blob, 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 Floob. And she just starts singing about it almost, kind of. it's a weird moment.
And of course, him being the bartender, he's like, what?
Yeah, he's like, what? God, come on. What do you need? And he's just like, I'm good at calculations, and I know how to do math, and math is telling me one more drink is in order. And Blobs cuts her off. She's like, nah, I don't think so. You should be getting home. And you've had enough. And this is where Brown is losing me a little bit with Sage.
Right on. So we're talking about the same point. All right. And should I say, by point, I mean Sage's broken shoulder?
Yeah, what's going on, man? Like, the whole dynamic of her, like, body is weird. I guess she's supposed to be stumbling and fumbling because of drunk. But not like, you know.
It looked like her arm is broken and her shoulder is, like, pointing upwards. Yeah. But the arm is, like, no longer in the socket. I don't even know, but, like, look at that angle.
Like, I'm trying to stand in this position right now, and my shoulder is, there's no way you put your shoulder up that high. It's too forceful. I don't get it.
And your shoulder should never be that pointy. No. Like, even if you're wearing clothes to make it, like, padded like that, still, it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, man, you gotta have those padded shoulders. It doesn't matter. Flat shoulders, man. Flat shoulders.
It's cool. Well, like, look at her shoulder and, like, the panel to the left going up in the far top left corner. Like, mm-hmm. they look fine there, but then for some reason at this bottom panel, they get all pointy. And it's like, what happened?
They do get really pointy. They're just like, I really, Brown was, like, watching, like, some Thriller videos when he was drawing this. And he's like, yeah, that. More of that in my Sage drawings.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea, but she's stumbling and she's walking away. And as she walks, she kind of stumbles and falls. And as she falls, Blob kind of helps her up. She's like, take my hand. And as he goes to grab her hand, what Sage sees is this demon, pretty much. This, like, blob demon that's just, like, consuming him. And she's freaking out. She's like, no, that does not compute. Which she says a lot in this issue, which is interesting on Percy's part. Like, I feel like tonally Percy made Sage different, which we could talk about, is it alluding to something in the future. We'll get back to that. Put a pin in that. But
yeah, but she's seeing the same thing that kind of what Omega Red, or not Omega Red, Kid Omega was seeing when he looked in the mirror, is like a distorted, monstrous version of what the person looks like.
Yes, and
also with that pink hue, we should mention they all have like a pink palette slapped on them.
Yes, which is reminiscent of, I guess you could say, Kid Omega's psionic powers, right?
Yeah, and how he forms his telekinetic weaponry.
Exactly. So Sage is freaking out, and her reaction to freaking out is, I just need another drink. And as she drinks, she chugs it. And this is like the weird, like, body horror with just drinking, where, like, she's seeing inside her drink, like, worms and stuff. But, like
maggots and blood. Ew.
Yeah, but, like, that's not even the body horror part. The body horror part is just, like, why did they make her so sloppy? Why is she so, like, all over her face, dripping down it? Unless she's seeing that and she's not being sloppy. It's just an illusion. I don't know.
Maybe. It's hard to tell with the...
It's a tough one. It's a tough call in this situation.
What's going there, yeah.
Right? But I don't know. I guess they just had to throw... I just assume it's, like, just another, you know, another moment of little body horror. Why not? Fuck it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting choices. Oh, yeah. Interesting choices all around when it came to Sage in this, I thought. But as we go along, we cut to the summer house on the moon, and we meet Wolverine and Jean, and Wolverine is hanging out drinking coffee, and Jean comes along, and she's just like, why are you drinking coffee? It's like nighttime. Or she says, and I don't think she says it's nighttime, but she's just like, why are you drinking coffee? And Wolverine has this existential moment for a second where he's just like, we're on the moon. I don't know what sunset, the sun rises. We can walk through a portal and I can see daytime, nighttime. I don't even know what that means anymore. He just looks off into the distance. It's weird.
And he does a little nod to the vampire storyline, because he says, he's like, I got unfinished business, and vampires, night is their time.
Yeah. Exactly.
And he's like, do you mind my coffee breath? And then they start making out. And I'm like, how did this happen?
Right? So weird. Such a weird, like, you know, like, let me fill you in on the story of X-Men and kiss. It's so weird. But we cut to after they kiss, I guess Jean kind of sees what she's seeing from her end is like her face getting ripped off, and she starts freaking out, and she sees Wolverine as this giant beast, kind of Wolverine beast, with long luscious Fabio hair, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, this hair. Much. Same pink amalgamation monster that Blob was, and apparently, like, he used way too much tongue because Jean's all fucked up now.
Yeah.
But that was a ruse, because everything's fine.
And then, like, for her second, it was only a second for her, and it just kind of goes back to normal, and she has a moment, and Cyclops comes out, and it's just like, you coming to bed? And she walks away. It's weird. It's always weird with this weird three-way with them.
Yeah, it's super weird because it's like, is everything all right? And then Jean's like, everything's fine. And then, well, yeah, because like Cyclops is just like, wandering in out of nowhere after they got done making out.
Right.
And he looks kind of pissed. Like, coming to bed, like you can see, like, his brow, like, furrowing. Right. He's not happy.
No.
And then you get all this subterfuge on Wolverine now.
Yeah, he's all subterfuge. It was an awkward moment. It's just like, what the hell happened to her? What was that about? Like, because he doesn't know what's going on or anything like that. So it just feels weird. Maybe she felt awkward to him. I don't know. But
yeah, because Wolverine didn't really see any of that stuff. Only Jean did. Jean being a powerful psychic, I assume she would have, like, said something. This whole, like, rolling over it, like, awkwardly moving forward just made it even more confusing.
You could have just said, I just saw a weird vision for a second. It's nothing. I'm fine. It passed. That's all you had. That's all you had to say.
But yeah. Yeah, it's strange.
Keep it awkward. Keep it as awkward as possible. Got to make this three-way menage a trois as awkward and cringy as it possibly can.
Raise that love for the max.
Good on you, Marvel. So we cut to Krakoa, and we meet with Phoebe and Kid Omega, and they're psychically flying a glider through a portal.
like a hang glider? Yeah. Right. They gloss over what happened with Jumbo Carnation, like, they don't even explain it. They're like, he's fine, it's all right, we snapped him out of it, it's moving on. And I'm like, what?
Right? But even they kind of pass over it. They even talk about passing over it, and you're just like, well, you just kind of ignore that. But I guess technically not, because we get Kid Omega kind of like, because it's weird. Phoebe's just like, it's fine. But Kid Omega's like, no, man, this is weird. Like, we've been talking about this for two issues now. We have, like, this weird gap in my memory. I don't know what's going on. I'm X-Force now, so I feel more important. I got to be important. So, and he's like, kind of all over the place, it seems, almost.
Yeah, but she's almost, like, aggressively cavalier about it, where she's like, it's fine. And I'm like, why are people just taking this in stride? Like, this feels like it would be worth communicating to someone else.
Yeah.
Maybe just one other person, except just the people involved.
Right.
Like, maybe an objective, like, outsider. What do you think about this? Yeah, it's weird. We should deal with this. Okay. I thought it was just me, but I'm glad you said so. We'll get Charles in on it. All right.
Yeah. So they land at the point, and they go through the waterfall. Nice landing. All right. So they go through the point, and he kind of apologizes for snapping, you know, because he's just like, you need to stop being so like you. Like, pretty much, you're like, stop being so cavalier. We need to figure this out. And Beast, what the fuck's happened to you, man?
It's like glasses are ajar, and he's like grabbing onto his trousers. It's weird.
Yeah, with the grabbing onto the trousers is a funny one. Like, but he's all twisted over, and he's pretty much like, what is going on? He's alive, but, like, something's up, right? And they kind of reach for him, and we get Phoebe kind of, like, picking up a erratic mental charge, as she says. And then out of out of the corner of the point in the shadows, for some reason, because it's a comic, for a lot of reasons, comes Sage. And she's just like, he suffered a massive debilitating stroke, man. Look at that. Isn't it cool? Check it out.
like, why haven't you resurrected him yet? And she's like, because we have special X-Force protocols. And I'm like, this reasoning is weird.
Yeah.
I get it, where she says, like, their bodies are essentially like a gold mine of intelligence and he needs to be vetted. Mm-hmm. But still, this, like, I just seems like they're taking it too cautiously.
Right. Yeah. Because don't they also talk about how it's important that we get every single detail of what your team's doing in the X-Force protocols? Wasn't that mentioned? Like, if you have holes or anything, it has to be, like, documented. So, like, is this just them doing their own thing outside of Charles's kind of knowledge, I guess?
Would say, yeah, that's what they're working towards. But at this point, it's clearly got off the rails. So
yeah.
I don't know why they haven't. Like, there has to be a follow-up protocol. But we'll see what that kind of relatively is in a bit, when Sage kind of shows you what she's made of.
It should be interesting. So yeah, she comes in and she says, you know, they have an agreement, and talked about how she couldn't sleep last night because some dream kept bullying her way into it, right? And she's talking about more or less, she's getting on to the point that there's something going on, but there's this moment between them where she's just all like, it's your dreams are like cold and calculating, and then they have to be like, I'm sorry, my bad, I meant like you're very analytical, blah blah blah.
Yeah. Yeah, so Phoebe says it more direct, and then unlike Quentin's like, no, I mean, we mean you're analytical, like, oh, no offense. And she's like, I get it, I'm a fucking computer.
I have to drink to turn it off. You don't understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, essentially they want to inform, they want to figure out this psionic threat, right? And they want to, what is she essentially getting at here? What is the purpose of keeping him alive for the moment? Or what is she trying to make point to, I guess, Kid Omega?
Well, she wants Kid Omega, and essentially with Phoebe's help, well, not necessarily, but just she wants one of them to go through and try to figure out what happened and see if that they could suss out the damage in his mind and kind of highlight something.
Yeah, so they want to do a little deep dive into his brain, a little psychic therapy, go through, figure out what's going on and whatnot. And they do that. So they talk about how they need his help, and then Beast kind of reaches down, and he's just like you know most people with strokes do, because their face doesn't work anymore.
At first, I thought he was saying Doom in like the last panel. He was like Doom. I was
like, oh, that'd be great.
Like, is it Victor? Did Victor do this to you?
And then Quentin's just all like, good thing I have psychic telepathic subtitles. So he touches them, and they get on it. They get into his brain. Oh no, first they go to the shadow room, which they don't utilize this room at all.
As much as you barely, like.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they go into the shadow room because I guess it'll help them with analyzing all of the psychic projections in his mind, which okay, I guess I don't know how the room helps, but sure. You know, I feel like they could do this without the room, but that's my digression, I guess.
It's like most of those news channels where they have like, we're going to go to the Situation Room, and you're like, this is useless.
It's just another green screen.
Yeah, God, I hate news so much. God
damn it.
Die already, Wolf.
So they go.
It would be like Star Trek, where like the holograms became real. Like, I want the Situation Room to become real, and like all the violence they talk about just starts bleeding into the newsroom, killing everyone.
That'd be great. Just all the protests, all the violence, all the stabbings. It's just like projected.
You want a ratings boost? There you go.
Yeah. Right on. They kind of go into his mind, and as they kind of like go back and forth between them, and how like Phoebe had like going into his brain requires a little bit more empathy, and he's just like, are you calling me a piece? I don't know what he said. What do you say? Shithead, asshole, cunt? I don't know. But like, are you like?
I think it's a dick.
Okay. And she's like, you're saying you're a dick, and he's like, yeah. But you're my dick. You know, one of those moments where it's like, yeah, you're an asshole, but I still like you. I still care about you type of situation.
Because that's the only way it translates is saying it has to be dick, because if it's like, if it's shit, then it's like, if she's whispering into his ears in like a provocative way, you're my shit. That's a little creepy.
Right?
The dick one, I guess I kind of see the double entendre, like that works. Like he's saying, you're my fuck stick.
Yeah, it works.
But yeah, that's, I feel, it's weird that you can't say dick in a comic. Like that's what kind of threw me off.
That's what threw me off, because I'm pretty sure I saw dick plenty in growing up. So I don't know. Weird choice.
I think even in the other Wolverine issues, they were saying the word dick.
Yeah. This has a parental advisory too at the front, so I don't get it. That's why I went to shit first, and I was like, this is weird. I don't know. I don't get it. We go back to the lagoon, right? And it's kind of like a flashback to before what happened. And this is before even Sage went out to go drink, and they're just kind of working, or they're kind of packing it up, calling it a night. Yeah. And Sage is just like, my brain is, she's just like, I'm going to go get a drink. And
because this is following up from Hellions, where she got hustled, or at least we believe that maybe she got hustled by the mastermind. Because right. she makes a comment about how like her brain has been off lately, and yes. that might be either alluding to that or alluding to what's going on here with Quentin.
Could be either or, but it works yeah. for the situation. So she's gonna go get a drink. Beast kind of virtue signals and is sort of like, you know, don't drink, you know, shouldn't drink, blah blah blah. And she's like, bitch, you shouldn't stay up. I'm out.
Don't judge me. I'll judge you. Fuck off. I'm gone.
And I'm out. Yeah. And she takes off. And he's just like, yes, yes. See you tomorrow. And he yawns and he passes out. Just straight up passes out with the quickness. Like, she's out the door. He's gone. He's out. So as he sleeps, he kind of goes into this dream world. And it's all like enshrouded in that pink psychic, Quentin psychic kind of maelstrom a little bit. Yeah. And he's in a classroom and he's younger, and it's the whole thing is like he's taken the teacher to wants him to write on the chalkboard, and everyone is just calling him stupid. Everyone right now is currently a Marvel fan over the past 10 to 5 years saying what we all feel about Hank McCoy right now, and everyone's just like, you're stupid, you're fucking stupid. You're such a fucking idiot, you idiot.
It is pretty much on point. I revel in that more if I wasn't annoyed by the fact that young Beast is blue. Like, why is little kid why? Beast blue? He wasn't blue until he was an adult, like yeah. well into being an adult. Like, little kid Beast just had weird feet.
Yeah, just a big hobbit feet, man. Yeah. But yeah, the teacher, and you see him writing on the board, and the teacher seems like that weird grim dark skeleton thing
kind from of BTC's looming, dream yeah
from BTC's dream, kind of looming over him. And it's asking to write all the secrets of Krakoa, just write it on the chalkboard, you fucking stupid idiot, while everyone's just kind of like still kind of in the background, probably calling him stupid and whatnot, really pressuring him. And it seems like he's realizing that he's maybe compromised or something. I'm wondering, because like, all right, so what happens is it seems like he's fighting it. He does not want to write down all of Krakoa's secrets on the board as he's getting called stupid the whole time. And he fights it. And as he fights it, he sees like this vision of Kid Omega, right? And he's saying, like, as he sees this, he's like, you're hurting my head, stop, type of thing. And then
he's bleeding out of his nose.
Bleeds out of his nose. And just like, you see him just kind of break down and fall. And they're all watching this. And even Phoebe's just like, oh, that was kind of cruel and sad to watch. Just watching someone have like a brain aneurysm, pretty much.
He looks pretty sad when he's bleeding out his face. And you kind of feel like, oh, poor kid Beast. But I wonder, like... I wonder how he sounded, though. I wonder if he sounds like a kid, or if it was just because he still looks like normal Beast. So I wonder if he just did a kid's body, but he had like his normal adult voice.
Still the voice. Like,
probably you're hurting me. That would have been funny.
Oh, that'd be great. Oh, man. So I want to know, it seems like I'm wondering if Beast is recognizing something's infiltrating his mind and he's fighting it, and that's what's causing the stroke or the aneurysm.
Seems
is
that way.
Fighting it, or is it just to happen because this whatever Beast is a dick and is like, fuck you, aneurysm.
Maybe Kid Omega's put weird Cronenberg Kid Omega is pushing too hard.
Could be. And just like breaks the mind and causes it to have a stroke.
But then we could go to this next scene where it's like Kid Omega still blames himself for all this, but yet he could clearly see that there's something else going on. Like, this part has annoyed me the most, where he's still kind of blaming himself for all this. And it's like, dude, obviously there's something fucking going on. Someone talk to someone. Jesus Christ.
Well, it's Kid Omega's first step on the reformation of being a good guy. You know, like how like the reformation of a vegan, their first step is always just obnoxious and pretentious and insufferable. Like,
I've been a monster.
That's what Kid Omega's going through. He's just like, yeah, this is my new life now. This is me now. I'm the cause of everything. It's all my fault.
Self-defeatist, yeah.
Yeah. So he's always blaming himself. But yeah, clearly he knows there's a gap in his memories between these missions. Clearly something's wrong. Something's aloof. Yet he still has this, like, kind of this, it's all me. It's all my fault.
Yeah, mentality. Even Sage tries to turn it towards, like, the Pale Girl. Like, brings up, like, well, we had this problem with Pale Girl recently, yes. And he's like, no, only an Omega level mutant could do this, and I'm an Omega level mutant.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Dude, there's a lot of variables, bro. Calm down.
Yeah,
this is, yeah, I don't know. Weird reaction, but that's Kid Omega's new ways of life, I guess. New costume, new, I don't know, new sadness to come along with it. But yeah, as it happens, we get Beast. Beast is like stroking out a little bit. He's like,
he's caught on repeat. He's like, I'll be.
Yeah.
And then the most badass moment in the history of Sage happens when she puts this beast out of his misery with a big fucking crack to his neck and just kills him on the fucking spot. Without any provocation, without any buildup, the Beast is just like stuttering, and in the background, Phoebe and freaking Quentin are talking, and she just kind of walks up and is like, wham!
Yeah, no hesitation, just like, bam, snaps that neck, drops him, and just goes, X-Force protocols, walks out. But no, it's like a moment because like Kid Omega recognizes that he's pretty much asking to die, and even Kid Omega's just like, I'm not that person anymore, and he walks away, and Sage is like, I'm that type of person, snap.
Yeah, like just completely without any build-up, like without any like mention, just dives right into it.
Yeah, it's great. I loved it. This whole page put a smile on my face. Yeah. No hesitation. I loved it.
Yeah, but she iterates the fact that the Healing Gardens is not for us because our damaged bodies is like an invaluable hard drive full of data.
Yeah, exactly. It's easier to reboot or back up instead, as she say, right?
Yeah. And then just fucking copy. Like, throw the old drive out, copy it onto a new one, move on.
That'd be great if all of a sudden it's just like, hey, you know, the portals are halfway near the where the Healing Garden is. You want me to just shoot you real quick? You'll get there faster. I could put a bullet in your head. Like, it'll get you there real quick.
I could beat that any day. Snap. we have to walk through that portal. I could just do this.
Savage. I like it. I dig it. So we go to Sage's log book, and in this log book we get kind of her pointing at the fact that Domino's body was kind of harvested for Zeno's purposes, and they used it to their own gains,
to infiltrate
the X-Men and Krakoa and whatnot. Perhaps a similar situation happened with Quentin, where like perhaps some type of psychic version of that has happened, where they took some type of psychic energy or part of his essence and is using that for their own kind of doing, you know. And what else does this say besides that? What are the further? It also mentions she's kind of busy now. She's like, fuck, I shouldn't have killed Beast, man. Now I got a lot of work to do. Fuck.
Yeah, it's definitely piling up on her, and she's kind of breaking at the seam, like kind of ripping at the seams because of the pressure. But that she does outline that there's definitely an MO going on here, because it seems like there's a, once people are kind of in a sense of
Sleep.
Calm. Or calm. Or sleep. Yeah, because, like, Jumbo Carnation wasn't sleeping. He was, like, awake, but he was, like, let his guard down, I guess. I don't know.
They referred to it as exuberant happiness, could even. Just any type of, like, it seems to be, like, a dream state infiltration, though,
right? Yeah, like, when you're relaxing at joy, at peace, yeah. Yeah,
some type of lucidity is involved.
Yes, yes, lucidity, that's perfect, yeah.
Yeah. Or
drunkenness in her case, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, so that's interesting. I'm curious. That's weird. Yeah, so it's not.
And the parallel between how it's a psych, she considers it a form of psychic malware.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot that. And that they need to put up, like, firewalls, extra, like, psychic
firewalls. Yeah, psychic firewalls, yeah, to help.
Yeah. And we're seeing the mention of her, like, kind of being breaking down and not getting sleep and drinking a lot. It seems to be pointing at maybe perhaps she's infiltrated too. Something's kind of off with her, right? Something's not completely right. I'm assuming based off of the aloofness and the weird tonal shift that's what they're trying to get at, but who knows?
She wants to talk to Dr. Reyes about getting organic stimulants, so she's going to start going on speed.
Mm-hmm.
Organic, quote-unquote, stimulant.
Gotta get on the speed, man. Gotta get on it, just like all the CEOs. So we go to Sunset Cliffs, and they're just hanging out, Kid Omega and Phoebe, having a moment at the sunset type of situation. Phoebe's just like, we should go to Jean type of situation.
She's the only, like, logical one here.
Right, yeah, and then Kid Omega's just like, no, we don't need Jean, just like you don't need the Cuckoos or Emma. We could do this on our own, which I'm kind of over this tone for this issue at this point.
They ran it into the ground, but at least he figured out that it's something to do with, like, the astral plane and, like, that is, and how that is tied to a lot of people's state of being,
right?
And that's pretty much the conduit in which the psychic malware is infiltrating through. So he's going to try and access the astral plane, and Phoebe's going to watch over him and try and pull him out if he has any problems.
Yeah, he says, cut me free if anything happens, and that's when he goes in. And when he goes in, he has to rock those glasses. Gotta rock those glasses, I guess.
His psychic glass.
God damn it.
What a waste of energy.
Right?
It probably really takes, like, 1/100th of, like, effort to generate psychic glasses. But still, it's like, you're going to fight a psychic being. Like, shouldn't you be at 100%?
Yeah. For real. It's, I don't, whatever.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's offset by this amazing tubes full of, like, weird Kid Omega clone monsters,
yeah, amalgamation. All over the place with the pink smoke kind of coming out.
Yeah, look at that eyeball right above his head.
Oh, yeah, just floating, just hanging
out. Yeah.
And he's walking around, looking around. It looks like those labs, right? The same labs that we saw
in the beginning of X-Force.
Yeah, like issue 2 with or 3. Domino. Yeah, with Domino. Yeah. And he's walking around and he even sees, like, his old shirt or his old sweater and, like, a chunk of his hair, too. So it looks like they got something, right? They got some type of DNA, parts of him.
Yeah,
some,
the little parts that you remember them taking from the scenes left over. Like, they've been alluding to those parts throughout all of X-Force now.
Yeah. And then out of, like, the voice kind of speaks to him. It's like, you can stop pretending now with your new costume and your new girlfriend and this attitude that's getting way, way tiresome. I added that last part. But
but it's what we're feeling.
Kid
Omega said what we're feeling.
Exactly. Exactly. He looks around, looks behind him, and he sees one of these Cronenberg Kid Omegas kind of approaching him. And he's like, everybody knows you're a monster. And as that's happening, in the real world, we see Phoebe looking at Kid Omega, and he's just foaming up.
Stroking out.
He's stroking out, man. He is stroking out hard.
Is she gonna snap his neck like right? Sage did to Beast? Like, oh man, that's a lot of foam in one, like, part of his mouth too. Like, he must be like,
he's biting really hard. He, like, might have cracked,
like, grinding his teeth. Yeah.
Oh, he cracked that tooth by grinding probably too hard. Yeah. Oh man, but yeah, he is stroking out hard, and she's just like, oh fuck. Wake up. Like, she's like, fuck, this is exactly what was gonna happen. Damn, so he's been infiltrated. It seems like everyone's been infiltrated for the most part. Or maybe just X-Force has been infiltrated. would you say? BTC?
I'd say at this point, yeah.
Yeah.
So they've come after most of them, except for Colossus, who I don't know if is a part of X-Force. They can't really lock that in.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there.
But Wolverine for sure, and BTC, and I guess Jean was there, but she's not really in X-Force, but yeah.
She's stoked, I guess.
And so, poor Jumbo Carnation.
Poor Jumbo Carnation? What was that? Just being wrong place, wrong time when someone wanted an
outfit? Well, he's technically the tailor of X-Force, so he's a part of X-Force, just only true. In the costume.
True. Weird, but yeah, this is where we end. What will Phoebe do? Is she gonna snap that neck? We'll see next time, folks. But before we end, we have another logbook, and Sage's logbook, and she writes a sub note on drunkenness. So she's very drunk while she.
It was a very lamenting logbook about just, it's less a logbook and more of like when you write in your journal to like, man, I really fucked up today, I should be better than this. Like, it was kind of one of those things,
pretty much. Yeah, which if she's drunk, like, she's well put together, like, while drunk, like, she writes really well while drunk. I just wanted to point that out. I could not do this. There'd be a lot of typos, and I would have a point, but you'd be like, you get it. Like, there might be five extra sentences, but you kind of get it. She's
totally
very concise, and I like this. But she's like, you know, she's talking about stuff entering the gates, and she remembers that. She remembers everything going through the gates, all the petals harvested, and then she goes through all the little things. She's like, I know all the little things as well, like the number of dogs I petted, which was 325 cups of chai. She's drunk. Damn, that's a lot of chai.
7,653.
Yes, number of landmines stepped on as a child. Just one on that one. Just one. I like that. I want to know that story. I want to know that one shot. Let's see it.
Yeah.
Then number of pomegranates eaten. 629. Interesting. I'm interested in these choices. Number of average number of seeds within one pomegranate. 998. Does that seem right? That doesn't seem right.
I don't. Some guys have a fuck ton of seeds, but sure. I don't know if that's many.
Jeez, that's a lot, that right? Does that seem right?
Yeah. I mean, I imagine that's something they wouldn't overlook. Like, that seems like a simple thing to Google. If that's wrong, then damn.
Right?
Yeah.
34 glasses. She's owned 34 glasses in her lifetime. What else?
Danced Mariah Carey 671 times.
Danced Mariah Carey. Cried while listening Purcell's Dido's Lament 12 times. And kissed by someone who really meant it too, versus the number who didn't.
22.
So 24 kisses in total.
Uh-huh.
Sage. Oh, the men in your life, Sage, didn't do it for you.
Apparently.
Hmm.
They weren't a fancy new computer. Yes. Computer, you're the only one that gets
me. You're the only one that get me. But she's kind of listing this all out. She's not just kind of puffing her chest. She's saying that to go, but I've been losing count of the number of drinks I've been consuming in a given evening. The math comes apart, the numbers dissolve. She's losing it. She's losing it. So what's going on with Sage?
What a tragedy.
Is she just losing it, like, mentally, or is she infiltrated?
I think it's a bit of both.
A little bit of both? A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B?
I think one led to the other, even.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just that this was the straw that broke the camel's back for Sage.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was meant to dissolve her in such a way that it weakened her purposely. Like, every bit of psychic infiltration just kind of picked her apart one by one.
Yeah. Yeah, because you got to go, like, you got to, like, iterate, like, constantly, like a computer would, like, over and over and over again to probably crack her as a human being. Like, you got to think like that, because you can't just approach it like,
definitely.
It seems emotionally how they're approaching it with the other people, where they tap into emotions and whatnot.
Yeah.
Whereas with Sage, you have to really, it's almost like you got to hack her. You literally got to hack her. You got to find a back door somehow around her. Which is interesting. I kind of like
that.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I dig it. So, yeah.
And the parallels are great.
Yeah, I dig it. She's coming apart. Quentin is having his moment. He's stroking out right now, and while figuring out what's going on, what is happening? Where are these?
Yeah, Beasthead, Wolverine, and Jean are awkwarder than normal. Everything's coming up X-Force.
Everything's coming up X-Force. Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully, this gap in this mission that we still haven't really uncovered kind of solves some of the mystery behind what's going on. But we'll find out in Quentin's next life. He's not making it for this one, folks.
Yep, yep.
Phoebe said don't die anymore, but he was like, nah, one more time.
It's like Freddy Krueger's the villain in this.
It is. It is.
Oh, he'll get you in your dreams.
It is a very Nightmare on Elm Street issue where everyone's just kind of dying in their dreams. It's like a hardcore one, though, because they're stroking out. I like it.
It's a more practical. It's more reasonable to go out that way in your dreams than to be like, oh, the thing that killed me in my dreams now affects me in my life. I have holes in my chest. Ah. You're like, this is dumb.
Yeah. That'll do it for us this week, folks. Next week, we will dive into X-Men issue number 19. Hopefully it comes out and maybe Children of the Atom one day, maybe not. Who knows? Who knows?
I lean on not.
I lean on not. What would you do first? The Children of the Atom or the Hellfire Gala mini event that's coming up? And that's just taking place in Marauders, I think. The whole thing leading up to that's finally fucking unveiling, I think. Took that long.
I'd do that.
You would do that over Children of the Atom?
Right. Oh, yeah.
All right. So that's, if you're wondering when the Children of the Atom issue is coming out, it's not that it's not coming out. It's just, you know, after everything else, you know. It'll always be pushed back. That's the thing.
Is it technically coming out after like X-Men 2 or something? It was like so far back in the release schedule and they didn't even change it in the back of the issue.
Nope. Yep.
Yeah, so bad.
So it's bad.
It's just like if Marvel doesn't care about it, then why should we?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So Children of the Atom is our Matt Damon to Jimmy Kimmel.
Sorry, Children of the Atom. We bumped for time. We'll try to get you next week.
Next week, folks. Next week.
Never going to come.
Never coming. But yeah, you can always hope and wait, folks. Always hope and wait. But that'll do it for us this week. Remember, the robots will kill you. So try to hold your breath until Children of the Atom comes out. See how that works.
You'll die faster.
Good.